Well, good morning to you. I'm happy to be able to deliver the Word of God to you today. As you know, on Sunday morning, our pastor has been leading us in a study on the attributes of God. And I want to remind you once again that this is an extremely important study. Your view of God will determine everything in your life. It will determine how you look at life, your attitude as you look at life. It will determine how you face challenges in life. It will determine how you make decisions in your life. And the problem that many Christians have is they have a very incomplete view of who the God of the Bible is. And so this is a very important study, and I hope you understand it that way. Today I want to preach on what I would consider the crown of all of God's attributes, and that is God is love. And so I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you would, to I'd like to read in 1 John 4 to introduce the subject this morning. 1 John 4, I want to read verses 7 through 12 and then 16 through 21. And you'll notice the contrast is between the reason we should love one another is because God loves us. The love of God. And he talks about that contrast and what God's love means in our lives. Beginning in verse 7 and going through verse 12. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love, listen to this, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God in his essence is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God was sent his only begotten Son, which was an act of love, into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And then go to verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God, he says a second time, God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. But listen to this. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And he's talking about the fear of judgment. There would be no fear of how that because God loves us, we don't have to fear about living life, the things that could happen. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love, listen to this, we love because he first loved us. And then he gives this illustration. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother. He's talking about discrimination here. Someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this is this commandment we have with him, that the one who loves God loves his brother also. Now, I believe it's safe to say we all, in fact, I would say every person on planet Earth, every person that ever lived on planet Earth, we all need this kind of love. We need to know that we are important to people. We need to know that somebody truly cares about us, that somebody accepts us unconditionally. In fact, people are so starved for this kind of love, when they don't get it, they can do extreme things. I've seen people who act irresponsibly in order just to get attention from others. I've seen people who create physical problems just to get sympathy and concern from others. I've seen people who actually run away from others to protect themselves from the hurt of being unloved. That's how desperate people are for this kind of love. The good news is somebody does love you and me like this. Somebody does love us, that we are important. Somebody truly cares about us and accepts us unconditionally. What the writer of John is saying here is God always acts toward us in love. It would be impossible for God to act any other way. Now here's the problem, and this is what I want to address this morning. The problem is that people in general, and even some Christians, do not understand God's love. They don't understand godly love. They tend to define the world's through the world's perspective of love, which is some feeling. And so they don't understand God's love. It is much, much different from what is called love in the world. Much, much different. And so what I want to do this morning is give you six characteristics that describe godly love. And I hope you'll take your outline and follow along and maybe write down a few notes. I want you to notice that in the Bible, God does not define love. You can't define love. It's like trying to define a beautiful sunset. You can't define it. You can only describe it. And that's what the Bible does. And so I want to give you six characteristics of godly love to help you understand the whole concept of God being love and in his nature. Number one, godly love is self-giving. This is foundational. Godly love is self-giving. A verse that probably many of us have memorized, Romans 5:8, says, "But God showed his great love for us," or "demonstrated his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." He says, God's love, he demonstrated his love for us. How did he demonstrate his love for us? He sent Christ to die for us when we were fighting against him. Godly love is self-giving, or I could say, godly love is expressed through acts of self-sacrifice. So the emphasis in the Bible is not necessarily that love is an emotion. Love is an emotion. But the way we express godly love is through acts of self-sacrifice. One of the verses you probably memorized when you first became a Christian, most people know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave. The way God showed his love for the world was giving his only begotten Son, so he might be saved and have eternal life. He's talking about acts of self-sacrifice. It doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he had warm and fuzzy feelings toward the world. Godly love is self-giving. It is acts of self-sacrifice. And so I would describe it like this. His love is always expressed by giving himself for the good of others, even when it cost him dearly. Now, people of the world are just the opposite many times. They say they love certain people, but they act in a very different way. People are selfish to those they say they love. I've seen fathers abandon their wives and their children because they said they deserved to be happier. What about the happiness of the wife? What about the happiness of the children? It's nothing but selfishness, even though you say you love these people. So godly love is self-giving. It is acts of self-sacrifice for the good of others. Secondly, and boy, this is very important, godly love is unconditional. If we're going to love like God does, his love is unconditional. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, speaking of Israel, it says this, The Lord did not choose you and lavish his love on you because you were larger or greater than other nations. It was simply because the Lord loves you. In other words, he chose to love Israel, not because they were larger, not because they were greater. He just chose to love them. It was unconditional love. And that's the kind of love, my friend, he asked for us. His love is not based on our performance. His love for us is not based on because we deserve it. We don't deserve it. We deserve just the opposite. His love is not based on if we continue all the time or perform all the time in a way that honors him. His love continues to love us even when we don't respond to his love. It is unconditional. Now, parents, listen to me. This is very important in raising your children. Your children, you need to communicate to them in some way that you love them unconditionally. You need to say to them, you may do things that disappoint me, but you could never do anything that would stop me from loving you. Our children need to know that. That's the motivation for training them. Your parents love you. They want the best for you. Not because you always do everything right. Not because you always perform the way you want us to. We love you unconditionally. We will never, ever stop loving you. Our children need to know that, because that's the kind of love God has for us. But I want to put the third characteristic in light of these two. God's love is self-giving, or acts of self-sacrifice. God's love is unconditional. But a third one is, and this is very important, God's love is holy. God's love is holy. Ephesians 1:4, God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. See, sometimes Christians, when you tell them God's love is self-giving, it's active, and God's love is unconditional, what they do is they use those two characteristics to rationalize about their sin. In other words, they want to indulge in their sin. They want to persist in it, and so they rationalize about it by thinking, well, God knows I'm just human, and he still loves me. Well, yes, God does know you're human. And God knows you're going to make mistakes. And God will always love you, still love you. But listen to this. God's love is always, always consistent with his holiness. You cannot use the fact that God loves us unconditionally, God's love is acts of self-sacrifice, to rationalize persisting in sin. In fact, the Bible says, if you persist in sin and you are truly one of God's children, God loves you so much, he will discipline you. In fact, I want you to see this. Look at Hebrews 12. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12. No. There it is. Hebrews 12. And look at beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 11. Now listen to what he said. For you have resisted to the point of shedding blood, in whom there is striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are approved by him. But listen to this. For those whom the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines. He scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're a good father, you will discipline your children. If you're good parents, you discipline your children. If you are without discipline, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You know what he's saying there? If you claim to be a child of God and you persist in sin and God does not discipline you, you better get afraid. You may not be one of God's children, because God always disciplines his children because he loves them. This is like a good parent. A parent who truly loves their children will not just let them persist in sin that destroy their life. They will discipline them. They will try to correct that behavior. Why? Because they love them. Parent can't tell me they love their children and they just let them persist in sin, not do anything about it, try to do anything about it. And God is the same with us. So what son is there whom the father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, he says, you may be illegitimate. Then verse 9. Furthermore, had earthly fathers, we had earthly fathers disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, they seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. Now listen to this. All discipline for the moment does not seem joyful. Amen. In fact, my friend, I've never met anybody who says, oh, I just love discipline. No. All discipline for the moment does not seem joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, that's the purpose of discipline, trained by it, afterwards yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Yes, God is self-giving in his love. Yes, God's love is unconditional. But that does not mean that God's love is not consistent with his holiness. God's love is always consistent with his holiness. In fact, God loves us so much, he will discipline us. When I was pastoring in Houston before we came here over 25 years now, one Sunday we had a couple visit our church, and I was preaching on the love of God. And I made this point about God's love is holy. Well, that week we were having our staff meetings and we were going over the cards that people visited, and we noticed this couple, they had different last names but the same address. And so as follow-up, I called this woman and I asked her about that, that they were living together and not married. And she told me her story, and it was a heart-wrenching story. She had been married to a man who was full-time in the ministry. All the years they were married, he treated her like dirt. And he'd go to church and act like the godly man, but he treated her like dirt. And he finally left her with another woman at his side. And then she was just heartbroken. And so she met this gentleman that came to church with her, and he was very nice to her, treated her much better than her husband ever treated her. And so they finally decided to live together. And she made the statement, you were preaching on the love of God. You should understand what I'm doing here, because God is still going to love me. I said, yes, God is still going to love you. But did you remember what I said here? I said, God's love is always consistent with his holiness. And you cannot persist in sin and say, well, God still loves me, so I'll just go ahead and do this. That is not the attitude. God does understand. He does care. I'm sure he cared greatly about her. But you can't commit another wrong against God's standard, rectify a wrong that's happened to you. So God's love is self-giving. God loves unconditionally, has nothing to do with our performance. And God's love is always holy. Let me give you a fourth one. God's love, and boy, I love this. God's love is without limit. God's love is without limit. The Bible says that God's love is eternal. Jeremiah 31:3. God said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. God's love is eternal. In other words, there's never, listen to this, there's never been a time, there's never been a time when God has not loved us. In fact, this will blow your mind. God loved us even before he made us. God's love is eternal. And then the Bible also said, God's love is infinite. Ephesians 3:18-19, it talks about the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of Christ's love. God's love has breadth and length. It encompasses the whole world. God's love has a depth that reaches the lowest sinner. God's love has a height that exalts us to be of the highest heaven. And we sang about it this morning. We sang about it in the old gospel song. I love this. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Where every stalk on earth is a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God's love is without limit. There's never been a time, there never will be a time, that God has not loved us. A fifth characteristic. Boy, is this something we need. God's love is comforting. God's love is comforting. 1 John 4:18, we read it. Such love has no fear. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. In other words, we never have to fear what God can do in judgment because Christ went to the cross in love. He paid the penalty for our sin. Therefore, there is no punishment. God's love, we never have to fear. We never have to fear what God is doing in our lives because we know that God loves us completely. There are times, this is very important we understand it. There are times things happen in our lives and we don't understand it. And we have many times, I've thought this way, many times we say, I don't understand why God would allow that to happen if he loved me. You ever have a thought like that? Well, listen, we may not understand it. We may not understand what God is doing. But we know that God loves us completely. He would never do anything or allow anything in our life that is contrary to his love. So we have to be comforted by the fact that God will always love us, even though we may not understand everything that he's doing. And we need to rely upon that. All right, let me give you a sixth one, the final one. God's love is life-changing. God's love is life-changing. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul himself testified, by the grace of God, what? I am what I am. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm not fit to be called an apostle. By the grace of God, I am what I am. God's grace is an expression of his love. God's love changes our attitude. It changes how we relate to people. It is life-changing. Now, because God loves us like this, what does that mean? What does it mean in our lives, our everyday lives? I want to close this morning, and I don't have time to read these scriptures, but I want to close this morning by giving you four things that this means in our lives and the scripture that relates to this. Number one, this means we have a witness in the world. God's love means we have a, if we experience and live by that kind of love, we have a witness to the world. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Remember, it says, God's given you this command that you love one another. And then he says, people will know you are my disciples. Why? Because you love one another. The love that we as Christians have for one another is a witness to the world that we belong to Jesus Christ. Because it's his very nature. My doctoral dissertation, I wrote on the our witness as a church. It was a very interesting study. One of the reasons the early church was so successful in personal evangelism is because they had such a positive, strong witness as a body of believers in their community. People saw people who were unified. People saw people from all walks of life who loved one another. And so I was writing my dissertation on this, and one of the things I did was I developed a survey for unbelievers of how they viewed the churches in their community. And I purposely chose small towns. I took a small town in California and gave the test to as many people as I could. I had a friend that took one on the East Coast in a small town, and then one in the South. This survey covered over 300 unbelievers. And in doing the conclusion to the study, do you know what the two things were that got the lowest points? Loving one another and being unified. In fact, over 300 unbelievers are saying, in our community, we don't see Christians who love one another. We see Christians who are fighting one another and slandering one another. And that's the reason these churches were not impacting their community. We have a witness to the world when we live by, when we have God's love. They know we're his disciples because we love one another. Secondly, this also means we should love others the way God loves us. In other words, not just words, but it's deeds of kindness. John 3, verses 17 and 18, remember John says, if you see a brother, they have need of food and clothing, don't just say, well, God bless you, brother, I'll pray for you. If you have the means, help them. It's not just words, it's deeds of kindness. Somebody has written, I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club to discuss my hunger. Thank you. I was in prison, and you crept off quietly to your chapel in the cellar and prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind, you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me on the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. So you seem to be so holy, so close to God, but I'm still hungry, I'm still lonely, I'm still cold. This means saying God, talking about God's love, it's not just words. It's acts of kindness. Thirdly, this means that the way we demonstrate our love for God is by obeying His word. John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. My friend, I don't know how many times I've had people say to me, well, I know what I'm doing is not right, but I love God. No, you don't. If we demonstrate our love for God by obeying His word, we're not going to, yes, we're going to sin at times. We're going to give in to the flesh at times. But even the way we deal with our sin shows our love for God. We'll confess it and get right with God again. We demonstrate our love for God. It's not just word. It's we obey His word. Somebody said, well, we're to love God, not a book. Wait a minute. That's like saying to my wife, oh, honey, I love you so much. I don't care about anything you say, but I love you so much. No, if you love God, you will strive to obey His word, know His word, and obey His word. That's why we are to have a hunger for the word of God, to know the word of God and apply it to our life, because it's the way we demonstrate our love for God. All right, one other. Boy, this means, because of God's love, this means that we are secure. We are secure. Nothing, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. We are totally secure when we're in Him. Nothing shall separate us from His love. My friends, listen. You want to reach people in this area? Then we got to demonstrate God's love. I guarantee you, if we love one another in this church, the way the scriptures talk about it, if we love with this kind of love, people are going to be, when the word gets out about this church, people are going to be beating down the door to come to this church. Because people want that kind of love. Do you love God like He loves you? Do we love one another? God's love will never let us down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have nothing that we could ever say that we deserve your love. We deserve just the opposite. But I am so glad that we serve a God of love who loves us unconditionally, who's willing to give acts of self-sacrifice for our good, who demonstrates his love for us over and over and over again. Lord, help us to learn to love one another like this. Help us not to get caught up in selfishness, and help us to have a witness in this community and wherever we go, because they see the love of God in our lives. And they see us loving one another. And so, Lord, I pray that we will not just hear your word and go off and do nothing about it. I pray that this will be a life-changing message to our lives today, and we will never be the same as a church. I pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.